Good morning. It's 30th of June. Our New Testament reading today is Revelation 19 and 20. I'm going to read an extract from an exhortation that was given by Brother Lou Sargent many years ago. I read, "Again and again, in the 13th, 15th and 19th chapters of Revelation, we are given the vision of the Lamb and his multitudinous bride. It is a glimpse of a heavenly reality over and beyond all the apocalyptic turmoils of the kingdoms of men. This is the governing truth. Judged by this, all the human tale of hatred, ambition and bloodshed is a passing phantasmagoria. Only for the sake of this end is the nightmare strife of apostate man allowed its dark hours. What are these 2,000 years but moments compared with that duration which maketh pyramids pillars of snow? At the heart of the apocalypse is the living Lamb, who bears the marks of having been slaughtered in sacrifice, the offering in whose blood the garments of life may be cleansed. Familiarity with the words may blind us to the strangeness of the idea of dipping something in blood to make it white. Under the law, almost all things are cleansed with blood, and apart from shedding of blood there is no remission, as we read in Hebrews 9, verse 22. Yet, under the law, there could be no dipping of garments in blood, for the obvious reason that they would not have been made white, for they would have been made red, the colour of sinful flesh. And the simple physical fact is an allegory of the law's spiritual limitation, for it was impossible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. If they could not make perfect as pertaining to the conscience, they could not make perfect at all. For a man defiled in conscience is defiled altogether. The law could not deliver from the bondage of sin. It could only provide a temporary covering for sin's flesh. How comes it that in him who is the end of the law we have this paradox, that blood can make white? What is blood? The biblical description, the life of the flesh, states two things: what it is, the life, and that of which it is the life, the flesh. In these two facts lies its significance. The ordinance that it must be poured out and not eaten is first given to Noah when he and his family had been saved by water. It is a reminder that the life of all flesh is God's, but linked directly with the prohibition against the slaying of man, it is especially a reminder of God's claim upon those who are made in his image. Those eight human beings gathered around Noah's stone altar owed their lives to God's creation because he had made them for himself, owed them to his forbearance because the whole world stood under condemnation for sin, and owed them to his deliverance because in mercy he had saved them from the flood. On every count, their lives were not their own to do with as they willed, and what was true of them is true of all their descendants. The same law of the pouring out of the blood was imposed with added force for those who were brought out of Egypt as God's purchased possession, and were given at Sinai a ritual which in every detail reminded them of their uncleanness. The redness of the blood, and the fact that the very law which defined it as life could only be fulfilled in death, were constant reminders that it was the life of the flesh, and the flesh is the sphere where sin reigns. Life, death, sin, and condemnation were united in one symbol when the blood was poured out. Yet in this shedding of blood is the means of atonement. Thank you for listening.